football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Okay, well, let's get started, guys. Welcome to week three recap, episode four, season five of the CBFA podcast. I'm going to have to call a flag on the play on myself. It is season five, episode five of the podcast. We'll say it's declined and the podcast can replay first down. And once again, Scott Dusing's joining us. Thank you, Scott. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about the games that you witnessed?
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Well, the main one I was there for, again, was the Stampeders versus the Bulldogs, what has become known now as the COVID Cup. Talking with our manager of the Stampeders, Jamie Shearman, she said this is something that happened right around COVID or right after, is between both clubs that they play for a little trophy. So Stampeders were in their 40th anniversary all black gear versus the Bulldogs, hosting them, and Bulldogs coming in 2-0. And then Stampeders, unfortunately, have been 0-2 to start this season, and started out as a real defensive battle at the start. It was 0-0 after one quarter of play, and then was pretty tight defensively until a big 75-yard run by Antonio Mendonca, the quarterback for the Bulldogs. He ran right up the gut and just passed by all the Stampeders players, and he got them on the board 8-0. Stas Oberankowski then did try a field goal in that second quarter for the Stamps, but he did go wide left, so it was 8-1 after half. And you know, second quarter, start of the third quarter actually was again really defensive, not a lot of big plays, and then stayed that way until the fourth quarter. And then Antonio Mendonca again got his second touchdown of the game, the quarterback for the Bulldogs. And it was another long run, probably about 40-50 yard run, and ended up being the final score 20-1 for the Bulldogs. So offensive woes still for the Stampeders. They've got a grand total of four points in three games. So a little bit of work to do there for Dave Hardy and his staff. They did move a couple of players. They moved Cole Paulson and Stas Oberankowski from the defensive side of the ball to offense, put him in at the running back positions. And that did seem to trigger a little bit of offense in a couple of runs, but unfortunately still weren't able to get anything in the end zone. So I'm sure Dave and his team will be working hard at practice this week, and they're going to have I know we'll get into it a little bit, but Stampeder's going to be looking for their first win of the season versus the winless Rebels. So Bulldogs are 3-0 at the top of the division, doing well. And yeah, no, I will give credit to the Stampeder's defense. They were probably, I remember talking to Cole on the sidelines, they were probably on the field for about 75-80% of the second half. Stampeder's offense were 2-0s. Unfortunately, weren't getting much going. And, you know, credit to them, they kept it really, really tight. And it was just that last touchdown in the fourth quarter that, in the last few minutes, that was the key there. So, yeah, Stamps work to do, and Bulldogs are right now undefeated. So that's my recap of the games that I saw.
Awesome.
When Glenn Verban was talking to me on the sidelines while you were announcing that, and he goes, "This reminds me of the 2014 season that we had." And he was saying that they barely managed to scrape by almost every single game in that year as well. And they actually ended up going to the city finals where they met the Stampeders and ultimately lost. But yeah, he's the Bulldogs coach is also stressing about, you know, despite the fact that they're 3-0 to start their season, the Bulldogs coaching staff is stressing to the fact that they're barely winning their games.
Yeah, and you know, and a good part of that too, Cole, is with all the smoke that we saw in Calgary last week, you know, the Bulldogs, I think they only got a couple of days of practice, but in gymnasiums. They weren't able to do it outside just with the smoke, the air condition. So I think they were at Seven Chiefs at the Sportsplex there, Tina First Nations, and were able to run their offense and defense, but no contact. So, yeah, they, you know, kudos to them for still getting the W there. You know, the Stampeders last year were 6-2, and the year before they're 5-3. So I think it's been a while since, I don't know if you guys got the stats, but it's probably been a while since this team's been 0-3 to start the season.
Yeah, it's beyond my memory, which, you know, admittedly isn't the best, but.
Well, I can tell you when they're 1-3. They're 1-3 in 2022.
Oh, so there he goes.
So slow start a couple of years ago.
There it goes. Yep.
The only reason that they're 1-3 is because they won their week two game, but there's ebbs and flows for sure in Bandon football. And I have mentioned that quite a lot this season, so I'm not going to deep dive into that again this week. I'll save our listeners that. But what I will talk about briefly is the first two games of the day, which I didn't do a great job of keeping notes, and the fact that I wrote absolutely zero notes this week. Our day started off with the Raiders taking on the Wildcats, which we thought was going to be a good test, or at least I did was for the Wildcats. Because the Wildcats in the previous 2 weeks had taken on the Cowboys and only won by 8, and then they beat the Mavericks. But like I've mentioned before, they struggled in that first half against the Mavericks before ultimately blowing out that game. So it was going to be interesting to see where they could compare to a team like the Raiders, who are arguably the top team in the league right now. And the Raiders definitely came out and showed that they moved the ball extremely well against the Wildcats, and their defense just really shut them down. Benga Babone, you know, picking off his receivers left, right, and center, and ended up leading the Raiders to a 33-6 victory. And for the Wildcats, yeah, they have a bit of turning around to do, and we'll discuss that a bit later in their look ahead for next week. But yeah, it's you know, in the sense of the test that it was for the Wildcats, it's a good look for us on the, you know, the non-biased league side of things to go, okay, well, you know, maybe they're not, you know, 1 or 2 in the league at the moment.
Yeah, they've got some work to do for sure. But if the, you know, the 9 versus 9 is any indication, they've got some good players that are coming in their system, so you know, future looks bright. But I'll talk more about the 9-a-side later, as I was there Sunday. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about that next game, the Cowboys and Lions?
The Cowboys and Lions was, I don't want to say more interesting than I thought it was going to be, but it was more interesting than I thought it was going to be, because that game was a lot more level pegging than I think we anticipated heading into the week. The Lions, this is the first time I've seen them, so I can't really compare their previous two performances against the Colts and Stampeders, but the Lions were struggling in comparison to, I think, to week 1 and 2. Hardly moving the ball. Cowboys defense kept things level and help their offense actually, you know. Ultimately, the Cowboys end up claiming that game in I think quite a shocking fashion. The Lions just weren't able to get anything going at all on offense, and only ended up scoring one touchdown. The Cowboys ended up putting 19 on the board, so the final was 19-8. But yeah, it was just, I was expecting more from the Lions, you know, having seen their score lines for their opening 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But again, like the Wildcats, it was a good test for the Lions and for the Cowboys to see, okay, well, you know, they're sitting decently in the high mid table.
Right. Yeah. So I think we've got some, a lot more parity in the league this year. There's, of course, you know, the Raiders are clearly, you know, up there near the top. The Bulldogs are looking good at 3-0, but as you said, they're, you know, not being overconfident about it. So they know that there's still going to be some tests to come.
It's not something I'll touch on afterwards, but yeah, it's it's the most competitive opening 3 weeks that we've seen in a long time.
Right. And to highlight that, over at Encana Field, I was announcing the Rebels Mavericks game, which turned out to be quite an exciting game. It was a great game to watch. They traded touchdowns on their opening possession in the first quarter. Both had their extra points kicked straight into the line and blocked. So it was 6-6 early, and it stayed that way throughout the game. And they went back and forth up and down the field. There was a lot of good offensive plays and defensive plays, but no scoring until late in the fourth quarter. And the Wiley Mavericks coaching staff got into close enough field position. Not for a field goal, but for a punt. And they punted it into the end zone. And the Rebels returner wasn't able to escape the pursuit, and he got tackled in the end zone for a rouge. So their final score in that one was Mavericks 7, Rebels 6. A bit
That's a
of an
defensive
upset.
battle right there.
I almost wonder if that's just things coaches don't necessarily think to tell the returner, because I was able to actually make it to the field to watch that last couple minutes of that game, and it looked like the returner was hesitant to even pick the ball up initially.
Yeah.
So by the time that they actually picked the ball up, there wasn't really a whole lot of room to go, and it's like, no, just get the ball out of the end zone by any
Yeah.
means necessary.
Yeah. Kick it if you have to.
Yeah. So we're back to the heydays of football.
That's right. So we had a good old Canadian finish on Encana. That was really exciting. So kudos to the Mavericks coaching staff and their team for pulling it off. And then the final game of the day was the Eagles taking on the Colts. And I think a lot of us thought this one was going to be a lot closer of a matchup. It was pretty, even for the first quarter, but then once the Eagles scored, they started scoring in bunches, and the Colts were turning over the ball a lot. They weren't able to hang on to it. So yeah, the Eagles ended up running away with that one. Final score was 45-6. Colts scored a late touchdown to break the goose egg. So I was good on them, because nobody wants a shutout. We had no shutouts this week.
Again, 2 weeks in a row, James.
Right? So
Stampeders were close, but it was just that missed field goal.
the
yep,
missed field goal
again.
saved them.
The rouge once more saves them.
But I mean, to be fair, that was earlier in the game than the Colts touchdown.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true.
All right. So,
If
Cole,
I
you have
may.
posted the standings
Oh,
on
yeah.
the social medias.
I will do that first. Yeah, because the standings on the social media are different than the standings on our website. The reason for that is the standings on the website show the divisional breakdown, which we use for other awards at the end of the season, but for playoff consideration, we have to use the entire league standings.
Yeah. And
Just
before you say, well, why can't you?
to make things confusing.
It's a ramp website thing. We're working with the tools we're given.
It's not bad though, because it shows us
Oh
things
yeah.
we other data we need to know.
It does so many other great things. Yeah.
James, that is the nicest description of ramp websites that I've ever heard, especially after being very involved with other sports that use ramp. The words that most parents use aren't as friendly as what you just used. So
Yeah,
well
the
done,
words
Alex.
that we use not on the podcast are also not as friendly. But yeah, anyway, on that note, our entire league overall standings are the Bulldogs sitting in first with a 3-0 record. with 15 points against, followed by the Raiders, also on a 3-0 record with 22 points against. The Wildcats, Lions, and Eagles sit third through fifth with a 2-1 record apiece. Point difference of 39 for the Wildcats, 44 for the Lions, 48 for the Eagles are what make up their three rankings. Then we have the Cowboys, Mavericks, and Colts coming in with a 1-2 record apiece. Cowboys edge that three-way tie because they have a point difference of 35 to the Mavericks, 55 to the Colts, 102. Then we have the Rebels and the Stampeders in 9th and 10th with an 0-3 record apiece. Rebels have a 69-point difference, while the Stampeders come in last with a 78-point difference. And yes, our tiebreakers are head-to-head and then points against.
There you go.
Head-to-head matchups with ties at this point in time. So I think I haven't really looked yet because it's only 3-3.
Yeah, we'll
points against for right now.
We can worry about the tiebreakers when we're getting a little closer to the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, just points against for right now.
Yeah.
Before you jump into the Niners side, though, we do want to address mainly things like the code of conduct. There was a couple incidents this week, one of which was covered in the email that was sent out to the teams and stuff this afternoon, where we have to applaud one of the coaches for one of the teams, and they know who they are and which game it was, where the parents were harassing one of the officials.
Yeah.
And the coach immediately and very smartly called up to the crowd and said, "Hey, knocked it off or we're going to get a penalty." And that did fortunately calm the crowd down. But, you know, there is a reason why we give out the speech at the start of the game where we are a family-friendly environment and stuff like that won't be tolerated because we have threatened to kick all the parents out of the stands before. We do have that power. We will stop the game. We don't want to have to do that. But, you know, if it gets to a point where we're left with no choice, then, you know, do stupid things, get stupid consequences.
Right. So just behave yourself when you're at the park. Enjoy the game. Don't take it so personally. I mean, it is a game after all.
It is a game. Yes, you do want to see your child succeed. But at the same time, you know, everyone's volunteers. We're all there to, you know, have a good time, watch football.
Yeah.
You know, we're there because we like to be there. And, you know, there's so many other families and stuff that are impacted by this. And there's a reason why we have low official numbers in football in Alberta. And it's because of parental harassment.
Yeah.
To the fact that no one really wants to do it. And so we're struggling with, that's one of the reasons why we struggle with getting officials across the province.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a problem that's just strictly footballs. I think it goes beyond all that into every sport, which is, unfortunate. So behave yourself at the park.
Yeah, Cole and I call hockey games, and we see it all the time as well. It's funny, you know, with hockey tryouts right now going on, stress levels of parents are probably through the roof. So kind of see it at the football field as well. And changing subjects a little bit, but it does, you know, applauding the coaches. Actually, one thing that I saw over the weekend, it was during that Bulldogs-Stamps game, is just the coaching of the Bulldogs as well. I want to commend them. There's an incident where it was an unnecessary roughness penalty. You know, a young man hit a kid pretty hard up high. And again, you know, with kids, we have kids of all sizes out there in the field. You have some that are a little smaller, some that are bigger. It's hard for some of the kids to adjust sometimes when they're going into contact. And, you know, the individual got a penalty, but it was just the way of how Glenn Verban and his team coached the player that got the penalty, which is about how you can't do that and what you need to look out for. And just, you know, really good job. And I've seen that in a lot of things, but that definitely stuck out from the week because I think even a lot of parents in the stands thought and on both sides, and they're like, wow, that's some great coaching. So that's, you know, applauded to the Bulldogs coaching staff and their whole team.
The other thing to note on the excuse me, on the code of conduct is coaches, team managers, photographers, and trainers, and us volunteers as well, all need to have their field passes to be on the fields. The only exceptions are referees or people associated with the referee league and the stick crew, but the voluntolds for the stick crew need to come and sign in with us prior to walking across the field, which some voluntolds just automatically walk across the field.
Yeah, well, they do, but they do have to sign in, and so do the referees. So
yeah, but yeah, we will start kicking off people. Well, we have kicked off people that we know, that we've known for years, for not having passes. So coaches and everybody, please ensure to wear your pass.
Yeah. All right. Good reminders. Thanks,
Cole. It'd be really awkward to have a team, you know, just have to figure stuff out on their own because all of their coaches got kicked off for not having field passes.
Right. That would be awkward. Okay, on to the nine-a-side. So nine-a-side season kicked off on Sunday, which was just the day after our week three in the regular 12-a-side league. So the Wildcats have actually two nine-a-side teams. They've got so many players in development that they've got two separate nine-a-side teams. In the first game of the day, the Wildcats 2 team defeated the Airdrie Raiders by a score of 38-6. And then in the second game, the Cowboys defeated the Wildcats 1 team 43-26. And I caught part of that game, probably the second half of it, and there were some great offensive plays on both sides, but what struck me was that there were a lot of penalties. It was a penalty-filled game, and it ran a little bit late. The final game got started. When it finally got started, it got going, and it was the opposite, and that was a game between the Chestermere Chiefs and the Okotoks Eagles, and that was pretty even battle at the beginning. By the end of the first quarter, you could see that the Chiefs were tilting the field in their favor, and you kind of got the feeling that it was gonna tip, right? And sure enough, it did. I'm afraid I didn't get his name. I didn't see a roster, but number 83. He was wearing number 83. And he ran, I think he had probably at least three touchdowns of 60 yards or more. And I was talking to one of the coaches and one of the parents after the game, and they were saying that last year he was one of their offensive linemen, and he just wanted to run the ball, but he was too heavy. So he really applied himself to, you know, losing weight and getting healthy and working at it. And he got underweight, and now he's their star running back. And he was running with purpose. He was hitting his gaps with, like, and you know how when you get anticipation, you just love something so much, you can't wait for it. You get the feeling that this kid loves contact that much, that he was going after, he was running through the other team. Whenever he had a chance, he wouldn't go around guys, he would go over them. And he was like, you could hear the pops on the sidelines. It was wild. But the Chiefs ended up winning that game by a score 38-6. So great game for the Chiefs, and great game by that young man. I'm sure we will learn his name in time. That was the opening week of the nine aside.
No, it's definitely good to see the development and get players the playing time that they wouldn't necessarily get, you know, if we didn't have it, because you know you'd have teams like the Wildcats and the Raiders and the Cowboys would have 90-man rosters.
Yeah,
And 75% of those kids wouldn't necessarily see the field, depending on the game and the scoreline and everything. But, it's having that nine-a-side team, having the Wildcats have the ability to have two different teams than that because they have so many people. It's good for the league. It's good for the development of the league and the growth.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could see that the game meant as much to those kids as the games on Saturday meant to those kids. So, yeah, it was exciting. It's a bit of a smaller field. They've got the sidelines drawn in a little bit, but the length is the same. So, a couple of fewer players on the field, so and a full like down line, right? So there's five on the line, and then you've got fewer skilled players, so they could only have one or two options, and they can mix and match, but you could see, especially in that last game, the Chiefs defense was keying on the Eagles running back, and every time he touched the ball, they were hitting him before he could get back to the line of scrimmage. It was fun.
Nice. It's good.
All right. And now on to the week to come. Week number four,
And James still
which
needs to learn the
already, what's that?
I said, you still need to learn the segues.
I'm working at it. You gotta give me some more lessons, I guess. So yeah, we got week four coming up, which is the halfway point, or almost the halfway point, because we've got what, 10 weeks of
Nine.
regular season this week?
We're exactly a third of the way through.
One third, nine regular season weeks.
So on that note, at 8:30 in the morning, we have the Colts taking on the Mavericks at Hillard Field, which again should be a good test for both of those teams, both coming in at a 1-2 record. That will be followed up by the Eagles taking on the Wildcats, which again is another good test for both those teams, both coming in at a 2-1 record. That will be followed up by the Raiders and the Lions, seeing if the Lions can bounce back off of their struggles against the Cowboys and seeing if the Raiders are truly, in fact, the top team that they quite seemingly seem to be. That will be followed up by the Stampeders taking on the Rebels at 3:15 on Hellard Field. Which again, like Scott previously mentioned, both those teams coming with an 0-3 record. So that could be a crucial game for both of those teams, especially in the look ahead towards playoffs, with the ninth and 10th seeds getting the bye to the Div 3 final.
Right.
That game could potentially seal the fate for one of those two teams. Also at 3:15 over on Kenna Field, we have the Bulldogs taking on the Cowboys, which again could be interesting to see. Can the Cowboys keep their momentum rolling and grind out a win against the Bulldogs, or will the Bulldogs scrape by against the Cowboys, or even potentially win by even more?
Right, yeah. So we've got a good slate of games coming up again in this highly competitive season. We're expecting a bunch more good games. So from my take, I think that the Colts Mavericks game is it's going to be a lot more interesting than most would have predicted. At the beginning of the season, Eagles Wildcats. Eagles are coming off a big win, and the Wildcats coming off a big loss. So, that's going to be an interesting game. Is there going to be, some the Wildcats looking for a little payback, maybe a bounce back game? So that one's going to be interesting too, and I think the Raiders are probably, gonna keep things rolling.
But it's a good test for Lions, though.
It is a good test. Every game is a good test. And, you know, the Raiders certainly can't take the Lions lightly. It could be, you know, a trap.
No, but I think in comparison to where we're seeing it this time last year, we could kind of go, okay, well, this game is going to be decidedly this. This game is going to be decidedly this. This year, like last year, for example, week four, Stan Peters taking on the Chiefs. We could, at that point, we could decidedly say the Stan Peters are going to win that game, and they really and truly did. But like this year, it's week four, is anyone could beat anyone at this point in time of the season. Like it's just so level pegging.
Yeah. I think
nice to see, but it's shocking.
and the Bulldogs Cowboys game is going to be interesting. The Bulldogs are winning those close games, and the Cowboys, I just don't know what to make of them yet.
Well, and I feel the same with the Bulldogs, though, because yes, they are 3-0, but like it's been mentioned, they're scraping by in those games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to, you know, point at it too much, but those three games that they've scraped by were against the Rebels, who are 0-3, the Stampeders, who are 0-3, and the Mavericks, who are 1-2. And they're all towards the bottom of the standings.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Cowboys, they beat the Lions, and the Lions were, you know, they're one of our better teams looking so far through the first 3 weeks. So it's, you know, again, it could go either way.
Yeah, it's really hard to say. Yeah. And yeah, the Stampeders and the Rebels, somebody's going to get a win.
Not necessarily.
No, don't say that, Cole. Somebody's going to get a win. Don't say the T word.
You were how close to having one this week?
About 30 seconds.
And I think if the Rebels end up in that situation where the Stampeders are punting their end zone, I think that returner is going to know to get the ball out.
I hope so. I hope he listens to this podcast, and I hope he punts the ball out of his own end zone and makes us all proud.
Even if he doesn't listen to the podcast, I think they would have learned from, and the coaching staff would have learned from that game and gone, okay, this is what happens when. But to be fair, I also don't see the Stampeders needing to kick a punt at that distance because they have a kicker that can kick a field goal.
That's true. They do have, you know, a proven field goal kicker. He's
their only point getter this year.
Yeah, he's got all four of their points.
So we've asked the other question, because the Sampa's offense figure things out and actually
their kicker. Yeah, well, I'm still hopeful that they'll come roaring back and, you know, finish with a 5-3 record. 6-3. 9 games.
Yeah. Towers, it's going to be tough. They're going to need help if they want to get into Div 1.
Yeah, that's true. But they'll have to start by beating the Rebels, and that's going to be a tall task, as the Rebels are playing pretty well. Their record sure doesn't reflect, you know, how close their games have been.
No. No, well, all we can do is look forward to Saturday and hope for the amazing season that we've had of closer competitive games to continue. And yeah, I mean, that's really it.
That's it. And we don't have anything else. You already touched on the news of the day. What's going on, you know, league-wise?
Just the usual for this time of year. Gordy's food drive coming up.
That's right. Weeks. The second draw is coming this Saturday, so make sure you buy your 50-50 tickets either at the park or, well, I mean, use the QR code. I mean, it's open all week, so.
And the other thing is the Stampeders, the CFL Calgary Stampeders 50-50. We're always looking for volunteers for that. They have 2 home games remaining on the season. With the next one being Friday, September 19th. If you haven't volunteered already at this point in time, please do. We, as a league, we benefit very, very, very immensely from that Stampeders 50-50.
Absolutely.
They help keep our costs down, especially equipment-wise for all of our teams, which then reflects on all of our parents and families. Because the football equipment is not cheap, especially helmets.
No.
And we do benefit a lot from that Stampeders 50-50, and we put it towards things like those expensive helmets.
And all the other equipment.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think helmets, you get what, like 90% of the bill, though?
Yeah, well, and they're good for 3 years, and then you can pay again a bit to recertify them and extend their life and stuff. But still, you're basically overhauling your entire inventory over the course of 4 or 5 years.
And the other note on that, too, is, well, yes, you are supposed to be doing 50-50 and getting your steps in. You can win a Stampeders jersey if the signed Stampeders, I think it's signed, Stampeders
nice.
Jersey, if you sell the most 50-50 tickets. And, you know, more importantly, you also get to watch the game.
Yeah. Yeah, Stampeders game, and they're playing real well, especially at home this year.
I was going to say, especially against Western opponents, but then they lost to Edmonton last week, so.
Yeah, well, they usually, as long as they win Labor Day, you know, they usually mail in the next game. But yeah, so, Scott.
2 chances left to volunteer, please do.
yes, please do. And unfortunately, Scott had a prior appointment, so he had to drop off early. But I'd like to thank Scott Dusing again for joining us on the podcast. We really appreciate his insight and input. And I'm sure we'll have him back again.
Scott's insight makes us our talking points look a little lackluster.
I know, but that's just like, you know, if you're the smartest person in the room, then you need to get into a different room. So
that's
if
true.
We need to get surround yourself with people that are smarter than you are. So I'm always in good company.
Scott's become the new Grant Pollock on the podcast.
that's some pretty good company, but yeah, so far big shoes. He's filling them good. All right. And on that note, we will sign off for another week. See you down at Shoal Dice Park this Saturday for our host of games starting at 8:30 in the morning in Hellard Field. And yeah, Cole, what do you say?
In the meantime, go football.
The CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles at their new location, 756 100 First Street, Southwest Calgary, or online, www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Thank you for listening.